Yeah, let's do that.
Blog
So today,
we're live. Hi, this is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And I am hashtag I am Riviera Beach. This show is brought to you today as an interview with Ann McNeil, Dan Calloway, and Steve White. And the show is called I Am Riviera Beach. Just make a hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. The show basically is from an idea, like Earl Nightingale said, everything begins with an idea. And the show is founded on the idea that we are actually living in our acres of diamonds, according to Rosa Conwell, which talks about the fact that we all have our diamond mines in our backyard. But we can travel all over the world looking for gold and diamonds and opportunities and all of that in everybody else's city and town. But we're leaving our own diamond mine in our own backyard. And being from Riviera Beach, we realize that Riviera Beach is our diamond mine. And so I'd like to welcome to the show Dan Calloway and Steve White. How are you both today?
Wonderful.
I'm doing well. Thanks for another good show that we're looking forward to.
Yes, well, this is episode number three. And today, a number of different topics, actually, but the main one is law enforcement and Riviera Beach from a positive perspective. Actually, as we start going into the holidays, Thanksgiving, coming out of our 4th of July, but going into Thanksgiving and also going into to the New Year and Christmas, Dan is going to share with us some ideas that are just have been inherent in the history of Riviera Beach. So, Dan, if you want to go ahead and share with our listeners.
I'm glad to be once again the first Sunday of the month. I've had my commune. I've asked blessing for this program, especially you, our dear Salida and McNeil. One of the things we're going to have to do is rally together and get it back to the old time when blacks didn't kill blacks. The crime rate got to go down. We can't keep waking up every night hearing shooting, looking at it on TV, somebody's gotten killed. The police chief called meetings with Steve and myself and other people, and they have asked me to chair the new Police Athletic League program. And the Police Athletic League has been around for 100 years. We had it here with Zedrick Barber in charge with other people years ago. I think that with that type of program where police officers are working with the young people, working with the senior citizens and everything, everybody get to know each other better. And that's what it is. We got to respect the badge, and the badge got to respect the citizen. We got to be people-friendly. That's what community policing is all about. And we're going to bring two or three guys whenever you deem it necessary or want them to be on here, like Spencer Rozier was born and reared here. He's now a major, was acting the system, acting as a police chief for 3 months until he got the police chief. He'll be one of the guys that we'll bring on here because he was born and reared here. He'll tell his story why he went into law enforcement. And he's been in it for near 25 to 27 years right now. So that's going to be something to inspire a lot of other kids to get into that. Riviera has produced a lot of law enforcement personnel, and I'm one of them. I retired from the sheriff's office, and I'll give my perspective what we're going to do with the PAL, because when we go to Washington, D.C. in June, the last 2 weeks of June, whenever it'll be at least five or six police officers from the Police Athletic League there with the kids as chaperones. And that's what we're going to do. Everything we're going to do, we're going to involve the law enforcement, and they're going to involve themselves with us, because now they understand the other side and what they need to do to give back to the community.
Wow, well, that's a mouthful. But let's talk about the Thanksgiving event that we're planning. And that, I think, will also help people to understand this is a very positive show, and we're looking for ways to share with the world, really, the beautiful city of Riviera Beach, Florida, and the residents, and how many of us who have made a commitment to give back, giving back and spirit of service and giving in so many, 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 many different ways. In addition to that, I'd like to bring Steve on to talk about the goal in terms of not just sharing, having people share with us, but also how they did what they did. So, Steve, can you just share with our listeners the thoughts behind that?
Yeah, I think I would start out by saying, first of all, that when we talk about the way we used to do things when we were growing up in Riviera Beach, and when we examine some of those practices, we realize that those practices worked for us. And I think that if we want to experience some of the benefits that we experienced then we have to do some of the things that we used to do. And so I think it's very important that we did, I know we talk about this every week, but once again, I have to say we did have that village concept. So whether it's law enforcement, as Mr. Calloway was mentioning earlier, law enforcement for a long time, they were very, very present in our communities. So those police officers and detectives, they lived in the community, so they were very visible. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, they had a relationship with the people in the community. And so even as children, we did not look at particularly the black police officers that lived in our community, we did not look at them in an adversarial position, but we looked at them from a position of respect because they interacted with us. And so I think, you know, we have to have a return to that. So even when you mention Thanksgiving, we come out of a tradition of where people looked out for each other, and where when someone was without, then the other people stepped in and just filled that void. We didn't have a lot of social service agencies that came in from the outside. We literally were our own social service agencies, if you will, because we just stepped in and filled in those voids or those gaps whenever they materialized. And a big part of that also was that there was a line of communication that existed. So we knew that if someone down the street was on hard times or something had gone on, and then the people in the community just knew to step in and cook up food or clothes or whatever was necessary, and they just provided. So if we're going to return to that time, and this is what Mr. Calloway and the Youth Recreation Association does every year with the Thanksgiving feeding and the other things that they do for the other holidays, it's really just an extension of a tradition that we always carried out. It may be just on a larger scale now because they're feeding more people. But we, you know, I think if I was to wrap it all up, Ms. Calloway and Ann, it would just be to say that those practices that worked for us in the past, there is no reason for us to abandon them because they worked and they have a track record of success. And I think that oftentimes we outsmart ourselves, if you will, in that we think that we have to keep reinventing the wheel. But when we have Amen. Practices that worked, we need to hold on to them.
Well, that's beautiful said, Steve. And the most important thing that we got on our agenda right now, because of the pandemic, and the pandemic left a lot of people without work. For the last 37 years, last year we only fed 5,003. I had to cut it off at 6,005 this year because we're struggling, because a lot of people like waste management, different other companies didn't extend any finance to help out. We need help more now because we got more, and more people need help. The churches, like Stony Brook, that's 602 people. We will feed enough food for two meals that day. Bill of Francis's and different other places, the churches. We're going to be begging, praying, and doing everything that we don't leave nobody out. Because, see, we must, we will, and we have to help the least, the lost, and the left out. So right now, in the next 3 weeks, we have to gear ourselves up of 125 turkeys, $10 a piece, 60 hams, honey baked hams at $70 a piece, maybe 700 cakes and pies, and, of course, all the sides, like making the rice, the macaroni, the yams, stuffing or dressing or whatever you want to call it, string beans, collard greens, and, of course, 6,500 carry-out trays. Anything that is edible, we will take it. Any kind of money, check, or whatever, make it out to the Youth Recreation Association. And because of your leadership, you've already said we're going to put up a GoFundMe. We'll see how that works. And if everybody give a little, it becomes a lot.
Yes, thank you. We're going to actually do a PayPal also, and so we'll talk about that on tomorrow and get that out. But I also wanted to get an idea. Do you have any idea what your total budget may be in the past few years, what the budget has been?
Well, it's different because of the amount of people.
But on the high side, high side.
Well, okay. Well, for 60 hams, that's going to cost about $4,100. That's the most expensive thing. And, of course, if you 100 turkeys at 15 the size we've got, that need to be, it'll be $15. It won't go up higher because the turkey farmers didn't raise as many as they normally because of the pandemic. But anytime, that's $15 to $2,000 right there. And the people who normally would give us things, they didn't make any money, and they can't afford to give it. That's what they're saying.
Maybe about $10,000, you think, is the budget?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
$10,000, we can make it. We can make it because we pay a lot of people to fry the turkeys. That's what costs me a lot of money. Costs us a lot of money. Is frying the turkeys.
$10,000,
we can handle it.
Well, let's do that. Let's do that. We have a young man on the phone, Mr. John Smith. John, you want to share them your story about how you got $10,000 in about 5 days?
Well, he's a miracle worker.
Let's open up his microphone so that he can talk. So let us bring in and welcome to the show Mr. John Smith, which was an intern for us. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Oh, good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Smith.
Good afternoon.
I'm a student from the Bahamas.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. I attend Florida Memorial University, and back in August, I was coming back to school, and I had recently lost my $12,000 scholarship. But I was determined to still re-enroll in school and get through my final 1.5 years that I had left. So with about $2,000 in my pocket from home, I decided to still come ahead and travel to the United States with nowhere to stay and also no way of paying my school finances because I already had a balance. So I reached out to Mrs. Anna Neal, who offered me an internship prior to me going back to the Bahamas. And I told her my situation and how much money I needed to re-enroll into classes. And she did something that really stood out to me and has been with me ever since, something that I won't forget. And what I got from her helping me was, you can give a person a fish, but they only eat for the day. But if you teach them to fish, they eat for a lifetime. And what she did was she went over her McNeil factor system where it was actually just, being real. Like, where are you? You don't have the funds to get into schools, but she put it on paper and she showed me, what I was overlooking. And she basically, we came up with the amount of money that I needed, which was $10,000. And then we set a deadline. At that time, school was about to open in 5 days. So a person with, a weak faith or a weak belief, they would have been like, okay, that's impossible, 5 days. And even me, a little bit, I was like, whoa, let's see how this is going to happen. But I was still destined to, go along with it. And over the course of those 5 days, I just reached out to, almost 100 persons, just asking them if they wanted to donate. She also helped me to open up a social media scheduling company that I offer my services to multiple people in the connections from Ms. Anne McNeil. And in 5 days, actually, let me see, in 4.5 days, I was up to $3,625, and that was through people donating and then also persons reaching out to me for my services. And it was a day before school, and at that time, I was like, okay, I'm almost $6,000 short. Where am I going to get the rest of this money from? She told me to keep on contacting, keep on reaching out to people. And one of the guys that I reached out to from her Facebook that day, he messaged me back and he asked me, how much do you have left to pay? And I told him it, and he covered the whole entire balance. So at that time, I was really, really excited and happy because I had no belief that, you know, I was going to be able to get the $10,000 by Monday. And it actually happened. So that's my story.
So
I would say, like, the biggest lesson in that was just me with belief and then believing that it's going to happen. Sometimes not in, you know, the time we expect it to, but, you know, that's besides the point. Once you have belief that it will happen, eventually it's going to pay off all the work.
Now, let me ask you a question. You also said that you have services that you offered. What are those services that you offered or do or offer?
Oh, well, the services I offer right now, it's a social media scheduling company. So I would say persons with small businesses or persons who run an online business, most of the times they need to promote their business, whether that be a podcast, digital events, or webinars. So what I would do is they would pre-create their content, and I would design for them a social media scheduling strategy. Where they don't have to worry about which days and times to post their social media content for their followers to engage with them. So I would come up with the social media scheduling strategy along with a calendar so that persons can schedule out their content with no worries of, you know, being behind on it or just taking up extra time to strategize that. So I'll take over the whole social media strategy.
Gotcha. Okay, very good.
Now,
well, congratulations.
Before, yeah, now he didn't have
Thank
a business
you,
or a business. Yeah, he didn't have that business before we met and talked about it. He didn't have that business. He was moving with an idea of a T-shirt business that he had started in the Bahamas, but that was not yielding him the response that he needed as quickly as he needed. And my only point is having him share that story is the fact that we have twice as long to get this money. So that's what I'm saying. So tomorrow we'll talk offline.
Beautiful.
Then we'll create. But what I would like to challenge all of us to do is something larger than Thanksgiving. And that is to have some kind of additional strategy. And John, when he said, it just reminded me about we are feeding the people, but we can also teach them how to fish. They're not going to teach everybody, not going to catch everybody, not going to get everybody. Everybody's not interested. But there will be people there who are interested in something greater. I have no idea what that would be right now or any ideas about what we can do. But what I'd like for all of us to do, and all of our listeners, if you have any ideas or you'd like to volunteer and participate with us, you can reach out to us. I'll put our phone number in the chat as a part of this post. But you can reach out to us and you can donate to this this program for Thanksgiving. But in addition to that, we can talk offline about some ideas to help people learn how to fish. Same thing that John said was a great idea. Mm-hmm. And that is, after Thanksgiving is over, then what? How do we teach people how to fish and be able to have a better quality of life? And what we're talking about, for those who are listening, the Youth Recreation Association of Palm Beach County on an annual basis hosts an annual Thanksgiving, and the budget that we have is for $15,000 to make this successful holiday. And I'm just reading from the letter. And so you can call 561-531-9184, 561-531-9184 to reach out to Dan Calloway or Artie Williams. Let's leave it at this number, 561-531-9184 to reach out to Dan Calloway. And what we're talking about today is the power of the law enforcement officers in a very positive way in helping to bring ability to Revere Beach, but also to help bring a greater involvement with law enforcement in a positive way to Revere Beach.
And that's going to be under the heading of the Police Athletic League is nationally known. And we're going to get involved in the summertime. Starting after April, we will work with all the elementary schools and the middle schools, the kids from Riviera. We're going to have an 18 basketball Police Athletic League. We're going to have three jamborees, one in Riviera, one in Miami, and one in Belgrade. That means you don't have to pay. You're going to get a chance to play round robin that pole. You don't have to play one game and lose and go home. And there's going to be some people come and speak to the kids about life, about education, and different things like that. Under the auspice of the Riviera Police Athletic League, which will encompass the Youth Recreation Association, since they have asked me to make up a budget, put up the programs, and we're going to be meeting with the director from Miami Tuesday after next, and we're going to go as far as, Port St. Lucie and Port Pierce, where we have jamboree. See, we have to give something back where we don't have kids and parents to try to have to pay so much money to get in a program. See, we're going to buy the uniforms. We're going to use the gyms without paying because we're going to go through the interlocal agreement with the recreation department and the schools. If they're not being used, we use. And one of the things that we're going to do, and the police chief wants the gyms and the recreation to have the gyms open on Friday night and on Saturday evening. Because of, as long as we can keep them off the street, we can get their attention. I think that's the right way.
Now, if Steve can share his program and how the two interact.
Yeah, so I think that we've got a couple of programs that I think where we could interact with the children and with what is being done with the Police Athletic League is one, of course, is a mentoring program that I've had for about 35 years of mentoring, working with young black males 12 to 18 years old. So that's one thing that I would certainly think would be a program that we would want to incorporate with what's being done with the Police Athletic League. The other thing, of course, is the after-school program that we have at John F. Kennedy, where we are offering an after-school academic enhancement program to middle school students that attend John F. Kennedy. And so that is something that could be and probably will be incorporated as well, because we want to, and Mr. Calloway has always talked about the fact that we want to give them the recreational or the athletic exposure and opportunity, but of course we know that has to be balanced with the education as well. And probably in many instances, the education has to take priority, because that becomes what's going to allow them to go on and to be long-time successful. So that's some of the programs that we would incorporate. And then just to pick up on what you were saying, and as far as teaching people how to fish, I think one thing, because Mr. Calloway mentioned about going into places like Stony Brook and feeding the residents of Stony Brook for Thanksgiving, I would like to see us, and I know we're going to brainstorm this off the air, but probably look at how can we now work with the parents there in Stony Brook, as well as the youth, but particularly with the parents, because oftentimes the parents are left out of the equation, or the parents that we really want to work with are not part of the equation, if you will. And so if we have access to the parents in Stony Brook, and if we're accessing them through this Thanksgiving feeding program, but now we can bring the work that I do with parents, for instance, because I've done, as an educational consultant and trainer, I've worked with parents for years. And so we can work with the parents and give them some foundation and some tips and things that they could do to help their children to be successful. And so that's part of what I think is teaching them how to fish. And so if we, or even talking about entrepreneurship, because you have people right there, just using Stony Brook again as an example, you have a lot of people there, both the youth and the adults there, who have that entrepreneurial spirit. but may just not know how to even launch a business or get it moving. So there are things that we can do to teach people how to fish, because one of the things that has handicapped us, I think, people in Riviera Beach oftentimes, is that there are outside agencies. We know that that's, you know, what the youth recreation does, but a lot of these agencies come in to help people in Riviera Beach and in, let's say, Stony Brook and places like that, but they only help them from the position of giving them the fish and not teaching them how to fish. And so I think you hit the nail on the head that that's exactly what we want to do, focus on how do we teach them how to fish. And so with what the youth recreation is doing, being that foray into Stony Brook and into other pockets of the community, that gives us access to members of the community on that particular day, Thanksgiving, we want to develop a relationship, an ongoing relationship, so that we can teach them how to fish.
And well, may I make
sure,
I didn't want to take it for granted, but actually, to be frank with you, I've already drawn up to talk to Steve. Every kid in the Police Athletic League, they're from Riviera. And whether they're on the track team, the girls and the boys in the elementary school. But in junior high school, they're going to be basketball. Every kid participating, I was going to sit down with Steve and say, can he help with his staff the education component? If you practice 5 hours on the floor, you got to give me 2 hours in the classroom a week.
Yes,
I think we're hitting on something very powerful here. And thank you, John Smith and Gonay, for participating. I would like to, and again, like I said, we can talk about this offline if you want to engage the public in terms of ideas. But what I'd like to propose is maybe there's a way which we don't have to wait. I mean, we can do like a sign-up or something on the day of the feeding for those people who may be interested in more, and at least those who will participate in getting the food. And we can talk about this, like I said, you know, pick a time to discuss it, but I'm just thinking out loud.
Okay.
And the fact that, yes, and the fact that, you know, that would give us a deadline to think in advance of what else we could do.
Okay.
In terms of serving the mind like we serve the body.
Okay. Why don't we do that a day this week? It's like we are now, the brainstorming, because I'm in the middle of putting the program together, but I need that we to get into that, especially the education component, because I have not talked to Steve. I just told him about, when I talked to him briefly the other day, that we were going to talk about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is big in my mind, because I know that other than taking those kids to Washington, D.C. in June, the athletic program with the elementary school, we're going to have a lot of meets, and then that's traveling. And we're going to be working with the bus company from Riviera, the Riviera Recreation, and different things like that. But as long as I know we got the education component under Steve, we got it made, because they have to have that. And that's why we're going to be running girls' track and boys' track in elementary school. We did that years ago. Through the sheriff's office, through IPL, and we just need the education thing. And, of course, there are a lot of fundraisers, but one thing we got is the City of Riviera Beach Police Department behind us, because it's going to be earmarked. That program will be under the Police Athletic League, although the Youth Recreation is putting it together.
Perfect. All right, well, we're going to wound down the show. If either one of you want to go ahead and make some closing comments. I think this has been great dialogue. And then what we can look to do is by next Sunday, which we'll step out by faith and say that we can go ahead and reach out to two or three individuals in law enforcement and see if we can get one or two to join us on the show next week.
And see
what we can do is, you know, we can talk about the format in terms of the how, you know, not
right.
just what they did, but how, and that would be some tools, if you will, in the toolbox that the listeners can use in understanding how do you, you know, make the decisions. And it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect or stay on the right path all the time, but how. So that would be excellent. So if either one of you want to go ahead first and give your closing comments, and then we'll wrap up the show.
Well, my closing comments
yeah.
are very simple. I will talk to Officer Nance. He is the director. But my job is to teach him how to be a director, number one. And I'll have him, but most of all, I'll talk to Spencer Rozier. He grew Bone and putting their reed up right in Monroe Heights, and now he's a major. I think that since we got getting into law enforcement, I think it's very important because we got to do something about inner city crime. I don't care what the world is doing in Chicago and all those places. We can handle it if we all get on the same team.
Well,
and everything that we do, and I hate to say this here, when we feeding people, we always tell them, if you see something, you need to say something. You have to call me.
Yeah, I think you just said something that I heard, but it's not what you said. But I'm going to tell you what I just heard. What I just heard was inner city minds. Now, I know you said inner city crimes, but I just heard inner city minds, and I think that's such a powerful thought.
That is.
In the sense of when you think about how our subconscious mind works, it brings us unconsciously that which we focus on. And so I'd like to challenge us on moving forward that we're going to focus on inner city minds. And we're going to use the show and everything that, Dan, you've built to help change from crime through the minds of the participants and also the listeners. Because we started out as a very positive and beautiful city. And I think it takes the positive minds like the ones that's listening and the hosts and the volunteers to begin to change the minds of how we all have begun to change how we've seen ourselves. And I think that along with everything else that we do is going to begin to have a positive impact as we focus on changing the minds. So thank you for that, Dan Calloway.
Thank you for even mentioning that.
Well, I think that's great.
Go ahead, Steve.
No, I was going to say, I think that's great. I mean, my mentoring program, again, just to mention it, that's been around for years, that I mean, I work with the young men. Our theme has always been that the key to manhood is to unlock the mind. And so everything that we talk about, builds on unlocking the mind, right? And just as you always like to say, and that everything begins with the thought. So, you know, that's perfect. And I think that is what we're doing. There are some great minds, the young people in particular, and I always tell people when you engage young people and talk to them, the depth of their thinking will blow your mind. But we just don't do that enough. And so as we can enhance their thinking, and you know, I'm a big proponent of strengthening their critical thinking skills and all of that. So I think that in this ability that we have now to communicate with each other, as we're doing today and we'll be doing in the future, I think it's powerful, you know. So as long as we can continue to communicate, talk to each other, and have these conversations and strengthen the mind, recognizing that everything does begin with the thought, the sky is the limit. The sky really is the limit. You know, there's a lot of challenges that our youth face, and those challenges are probably greater than what we faced when we were coming up. But there are challenges that they can handle if they're taught to be critical thinkers and to make good decisions. And then they get the support that they need from the elders, meaning the adults in their lives, you know, whether it's those of us that's part of that extended family or their immediate family, whatever the case may be. So I think we're off to a good start. And I think that, well, I know for certain that what we're doing is going to make a positive difference in somebody's life, and as long as it's making a positive difference in somebody's life, then it's time well spent.
Well, I need to add something, Ann and Steve. I need you to allow me to talk to Mark Woods. Now, the Woods family, he is the second youngest of the five girls and two boys. Gail Wood, Regina, Enos, Andrea, and Sabrina, and you had Ronnie and Mark. Mark is a playwright. He put on quite a few plays and shows. They had one up at Burt Reynolds Theater. I need him to talk to him to start putting together I Am Riviera. And then let's go further than what we're doing right now and put a play. And then we work on the Krabbits. We work on different places. And then I have a nephew who finished at Howard. He lives in Washington. He's going all over the country putting on. And he'll be with me for about 2 weeks from the 17th of November until the day after Thanksgiving. He'll be right here. And when he come down, I would love for you to meet him and let him get an idea of that. He grew up right in Hope Sound. That's my wife's adopted son. It's really a nephew, a sister, who married to the Napier, the youngest Napier boy. I'd like if we could put something together and you put it on. We can get the Krabbits. Let people come to see it and look at it. Who knows? They may make a movie out of it. I just think I'm a little too old for Denzel Washington to be trying to play me. but we need to think about that.
Well, we'll let you play yourself, Mr. Calloway.
No. I just put on hearing aids. This week I got hearing aids. No, we ain't going to do that. Not with you young, good-looking people.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Listen, this is a wonderful way. This is a wonderful way to start a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful endeavor. And so I'm very excited about what we're embarking upon, and I think it's going to be life-changing for so many people. And so with the power of social media and the gift that God has blessed all of us with.
Beautiful.
We're going to go ahead and wrap up and look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Okay.
This is Ann McNeil, Dan Calloway, and Steve White, thanking all of you for listening in with us to another podcast of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. We want to thank Gonay and John Smith for their support and help in promoting the show. And we will see everybody next Sunday live on this podcast at 2 p.m. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.